Luke 1:38 says this, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, and the angel departed from her." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you for the privilege once again as your people to gather together and to call upon you to bless your word and to bless us, Lord, with understanding and wisdom that comes from you, that we might understand your will for our life and how you might glorify in and through our lives. What a privilege you've given to us. And Lord, may you again draw our hearts closer to you and empower our lives to be the witnesses and the light of the world that you've called us to be once again. And we'll thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this evening is, Be It Unto Me According to Thy Word. That's an interesting statement. Be it unto me according to thy word. Does this sound like a statement of faith in God's word? Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. According to what you've said, let me ask you a couple of questions. Three, actually. Does God want to bless his word? Yes. All right. Does it glorify God to bless his people through his word? Amen. Does God want to bless you and me through his word tonight? Yes. All right, so we're in the right place. And it's also the right time. And so there's no place like this place. So this must be the place God wants us in, right? And so tonight we want to consider that the Word of God really is God's precise instructions to bring us into the place of His presence and His blessings. And that's what the Word is all about. Once we've been saved, God says, okay, now I want you to walk with me. I want you to follow after me. I want you to abide in me and my words to abide in you, that you might be the children of God and a testimony of the glory of God here on earth. What a privilege God has given to us. Let me ask you this. Do we trust the Lord enough to receive what he has said to us? Do we trust the Lord enough to receive what he said to us? All right, so we want to consider three truths, actually four tonight, and that is a specific place, a specific people, for a specific person, and God's faith-building work. So back up with me to verse 26, and let's consider a specific place, and basically what we're seeing is where God meets with us, and that's where today would be his church. And how does he do that? Well, he does it through the church, doesn't he? He does it through his word. That's how God meets with us today. And he also does it through prayer. And so notice here in verse 26 what it says. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." So the Lord was sending Gabriel to go to a specific place. Today, God deals in the body of Christ, does he not? And now we know that the Lord is everywhere and in all places, and he always will be. And we don't know, really, that's kind of a hard truth to grasp. But the Lord right now predominantly is working through the local New Testament church. And so it's important really for God's people to know what a biblical church is really all about. So if you and I were out fishing or camping or something like that, that's not church. I mean, let's have church. No, that's not church. Church has some specific functions. See, the church has been ordained by God to preach the gospel. And what else happens after that? Then when people get saved, the church has been ordained by the Lord to baptize them. We don't just get together and baptize me in the river. Now, there's nothing wrong with being baptized in a river as long as it is a local New Testament church that's doing that. But you just can't have a group of people and say, well, that's a church. No, wait a minute. The Lord is organized, is he not? He's not without order. And so we need to know really what a biblical church is all about and why. More so today than ever, because there are a lot of things in this world that are calling themselves churches that are not churches. And they are teaching things that are blasphemous against God. And what's going to happen, in fact, I'm sure it's already happening, people that adhere strictly to the Word of God are not going to be received, really. They're going to say, oh, you guys are not inclusive. No, we're not. We're not. Because you have to be born again to be part of the Lord's local New Testament church. Listen, we don't just open up the world and say, everybody and anybody, come on in and you can be part of the church. Do you think that would cause some problems? Would it be a good idea? You think God wants lost people making spiritual decisions for his body? Absolutely not. And so we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in this whole idea. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of righteousness. And so we need to be careful to protect and to stand, that's what I mean by protect, for God's righteousness. And he is merciful. Anybody can come as long as they're willing to do it God's way. As long as they're willing to trust the Lord and follow him, why, he receives them, doesn't he? As he's received us. So we want to be careful about that. So here he is at the specific place. And then we want to notice a specific people and of the right lineage. And by the way, you and I are of the right lineage now. We've been born again into the right lineage. And we are of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So notice verse 27. It says here, to a virgin, a spouse to a man. And the reason why is because God prophesied concerning this virgin. And this virgin is not just a young woman. Some translations say that. But she is a woman that has never been with a man, because that's the way God had ordained it, that she would give a miraculous birth. It could not come. Listen, the child could not come from an earthly father. It had to come from our heavenly father, because the seed of man has been marred with sin. So God had some specifics. Now, there's some people who say, oh, she was just a young girl. No, no, no. She was a specific kind of a young girl. She'd never been married, and she'd never been with a man before. And this is important to show who the Lord was. And by the way, you remember what they said about the Lord. Remember when he was here during his earthly ministry, they would say to Jesus, well, we be not born of fornication. She never lost that stigma. She carried that with her all the way to the end of her life, no doubt. We be not born of fornication. Well, guess what? Neither was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had a heavenly father that brought him forth, but he did use a virgin whose name was Mary. And so verse 27, again, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. That was important because the scriptures talked about the Lord Jesus, the Messiah of God, the Savior of the world that was going to come through the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, listen to this, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, listen, he was not saying that you are better than all the other women, but she was chosen because of her walk with the Lord and because of the preparation of God that took place in her life, that you were blessed truly, really, above all women, because God was using you to bring forth glory to his name and salvation to the whole world. Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now we looked at Zacharias, and he said, what are you going to show me now that these things? Mary didn't do that. You're going to see this right now. And this is the right kind of faith to have before the Lord. As we read the Word of God, and as we understand what God is saying to his church, to us, his people, of what he's already given to us, and the way he wants us to walk, may you and I be able to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it to me, Lord, as you have proclaimed in your word, that I might walk in your promises and what you've given to me. So she's got the right kind of lineage. And verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, because he said, blessed art thou among women. So this is news to her. This is news to her. And listen, you might hear some things in the Word of God that may trouble you as well. Wait a minute. God says I am a royal priesthood. That should get our attention, and that we ought to live holy as he's lived holy. But I want you to see this kind of trouble that Mary had. She was very compliant to the Lord. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, at what he had said to her. And then notice, and cast in her mind what manner, listen to this, of salutation this should be. What does this actually mean to me? What is he saying to me? You know, that's the best place for God's people to be when we hear the word of God. What is God saying to me, and how is he directing my life? So we look at verse 30 and we see a specific person. God has a specific person in mind for his honor and glory. You know, tonight, God has a specific people in mind for his honor and glory as well. And there, that's us, amen, the children of God. And so verse 30 says this, notice, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Question, have you found favor with God? If you're born again, you surely have. You've been. How did you find favor? I don't understand that, but you've been placed in the family of God. You are in the heir. You're one of the heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joint heirs, the Bible says. And so he says, you've got favor with God. Verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, I would dare say that is probably the biggest news anybody ever got, that was a miraculous thing that God was going to do in their lives. And she didn't say, "No, I don't know, Lord, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense." No, she listened to what God was saying and she said, "Okay, Lord." Listen, when we look at what the Bible is saying, how God's people ought to walk, God knows we can't do that. But may we say, "Lord, be it unto me according to your word. You will bring these things to pass. I cannot do that in my life," and God knows that quite well. So, verse 32, "He shall be great," speaking of the work of God and who he's going to bring forth, the Lord Jesus Christ, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Does God think a lot about his son? May we think a lot about the Son of God as well. May we never forget what God is doing. So God has a specific people. He has a specific person, as we see this right here. And we've also been brought into favor with the Lord. And so it says here, let's look at verse 32. Again, "He shall be great," but what I want you to see, that he is going to give him the throne of his father David, just as was prophesied. Verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob for how long?" Forever. Isn't that good? Forever. Is Israel the house of Jacob? Absolutely. And let me ask you a question. Is Israel in existence today? Amen. Has God forgotten his people? May we pray for the peace of Israel, peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel, for the glory of God. God's not finished with his people. I praise God for that. You know what that gives me hope for? He's not done with me either. Amen? He's not done with us. So we praise the Lord for that. And so he said that he's going to be over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That's a legitimate question. She was not doubting what God was going to do. She was just simply saying, "Explain this to me. I've never known a man." And that's very natural, isn't it? I mean, this is something that she's never heard of. In fact, nobody has ever heard of this one. And this was all in the heart and mind. This was God's plan, not man's plan. Question, could man ever come up with this plan? If he did, he could never fulfill it. But God could and did. Praise God. And so, verse 35, "And the angel answered," he's going to tell her, "said unto her," listen to this, "the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Isn't that good? The power, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Do you think the Holy Ghost is important in God's heart and mind? Amen. Do you know that God indwelt the believer at the point of salvation with the Holy Spirit to bring his name, honor, and glory? Do you know why? Because God knows we don't have the power. So he has given to us the power, and now all he wants us to do is to look to his power and expect him to fulfill his will in our lives. That's important. See, do we have the right? Faith is faith. It's just trusting in the Lord. Do we really trust God to fulfill that which he's promised? Mary did. Amen. Zacharias struggled with it. God did it anyway. And ultimately, yes, listen, we will all be transformed in a twinkling of an eye when we see Jesus. That's going to happen. But God says, I want you to know that that transformation work can begin on this side of eternity, and God wants it to. So may we not miss that. And so he says, I want you to know the Lord's going to do this work in your life. Now, the last thought is God's faith-building work. God's in the business of building our faith. God never said, okay, you're on your own now. Never, never, never. How would you like for you to take a plane somewhere, and those planes go about 35,000 feet, and then for the pilot to come out in the back and say, okay, guys, listen, I'm parachuting out of here. It's all yours. You and me would be deathly afraid, would we not? But here's the thing. God does not bail out on us. God is in the midst of us and indwelling us. And that's why the Lord said, abide in me and I in you. John 15:4. And then he says, you know what's going to happen? You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear more fruit, and you're going to bear much fruit. Now, here's the problem. If we don't see it, God does not want us to not do anything about it. If we don't see the fruit of God, then there's a problem in our connection. So for example, somebody pointed out, I don't know how he figured it out, but somebody pointed out, there was a light out in the kitchen. So should we just go without the lights? Brother Warren knew how to fix it. He knew what the problem was. It was a loose wire?
Yes.
A loose wire. So if God is not bearing fruit in our lives, and if he's not bearing more fruit, and also if he's not bearing much fruit, there's a disconnection, isn't there? And the connection can only be fixed by the Master. And that is God. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Oh, but we've been privileged to call upon the Lord and say, God, fix it. Fix it. And by faith say, yes, Lord, you can fix it. He wants to fix it. And he's already given it to us. Lord, help me to get it right in my head. You have died for me. You're not dying for me. You've died for me already. And in that payment for my sin also comes with it the indwelling Holy Spirit. Have we already been given everything that is needed to enjoy and to walk in all of the promises of God? We've been given all that. So Lord, help me to get it right in my head to just walk by, listen, faith or trust. You've already done it. Oh, I can do that. It's just that simple. Lord, Lord, don't make me patient. You've already done it. Lord, make me long-suffering. Make me kind. No, you've already done it, see? It's already been done. By the indwelling Holy Spirit, it's all done. Because God's not going to make us anything. He gives us Christ himself. Right? The Spirit of God himself to do everything that is necessary. So again, notice this faith-building work here in verse 36. And behold, listen to this, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. Now this is news. Amen? Wait a minute. Does she know Elizabeth? She knows Elizabeth. Do you think she also knew that Elizabeth wanted a child? Do you think she also knew that she was never going to have a child? Do you think that Mary knew that her cousin Elizabeth had already probably resolved, I'm too old now? So what happened? God did something for her that she could not do for herself. And the reason why that information is being given to her is because God is getting ready to do something for Mary that she could never do for herself to the glory of God. And that is the same truth that God has given to you and me in the Holy Spirit to glorify him, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you've met with failure. Amen? You've met with disappointment. You've met with dedicating yourself to God because you love Him. And rededicating yourself because you love Him. And rededicating yourself because you love Him. And probably in your mind, you probably somewhere came along and said, this is hard work. I love the Lord, but why am I failing the Lord? Because we got our eyes on ourselves and not on what He's already given to us. Can you imagine Elizabeth saying, okay, now, Zacharias, we're going to have a baby. What? Even better yet, how about this one? That's okay, Lord. Thank you for the advice. I'll take care of it. That would never happen. But wait a minute. We laugh at that, but isn't that what we're doing? Aren't we saying, Lord, I got this? Lord, I'll do this? Are we not able to come to the place where we say, it's in your word, Lord, the problem must be with me. Because I know certainly it's not with you. And so may God open up our understanding to see this. And so look how God is working. I want you to know something, Mary. Elizabeth's now been with a child for 6 months. Now, I don't know, but I think she's probably got a little bit excited. Because here's what she saw, that she could not have done that on her own. And she needed to know that what God was getting ready to do, she did not have to do that on her own. And what God wants to do in your life and my life, praise God, we don't have to do that alone. In fact, we just have to trust the Lord to do it all. Not most of it, all of it for us, for you and me. So, he says, verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She was never going to have a child. Why? And then notice the next thing he says. Ready? For with God, nothing shall be what? Do we get that? So, don't answer this out loud. There is a sin that overcomes us, the Bible says. And have you not said in your mind, don't answer this, I will never overcome that. But wait a minute. We don't have to overcome it. God will overcome it if we'll hold Him to it. And what I mean by hold Him to it is put our trust in Him doing it for us. Now, when will he do that for us? That's a good question, isn't it? When is God going to do that for us? Listen, let me just tell you, take out a pen and paper, and let me give you the list of what you got to do so God will do it. No, that's not the way it works either. Here's the answer, ready? When will God do that? Listen. He already has. He already has. And all we have to do is say, yes, that's a revelation from God. He's already done it. I'm going to walk in that truth. And watch and see if God doesn't give you the victory, because that will glorify the Lord. I am by faith receiving that he's indwelt me with the Spirit. I'm receiving that. And I'm going to walk in that and watch and see if at the end of the day you don't say, praise your holy name. Because you did, that's faith, see? That's walking on the water. That's doing what you and me cannot do that God wants to do in and through us for us. Listen, if we will look for it, God gives us example after example after example of Him doing it for us, giving us the victory. All right? We would never be able to do that for ourselves. So listen, let's put this together. We're almost finished here, but I want you to get this. So Mary, in fact, look at verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Good question. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, she needed help, so do we. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, an impossibility. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be what? Oh Lord, for me. to receive that truth. Well, let me ask you a question. Nothing, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Was that just for Elizabeth? Was that just for Mary? Was that just for Paul? Was that just for the disciples? Or was that for the church? It's for the church. May we receive that truth by the grace of God. Lord, open my eyes to see that. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now we can say this. Ready? And Mary said, listen, behold the handmaid of the Lord. You know what she's saying? I'm yours. When will we say God? As we see what God is wanting, that's what it means, see? God is saying, this is my plan for you. And we say, let me help you with that, God. And God says, no. I'm going to help you with it. And God says, okay, I'm over here when you need me. And we're helping God, aren't we? We're helping God, and we're helping God, and we're failing God, and we're helping. Oh, we got a little good. Oh, pat me on the back. Who got the glory out of that? God? Oh, no, look at me. Look at me. And that's why God says, I'm waiting until you can receive my truth and until we can realize, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And when we see God's going to do it all, we step back and we say this, listen. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Here I am, Lord. Amen. You know what she's saying? Be it unto me according to your word. Amen? Amen? According to thy word. And what did the angel do after she got the message? His mission was accomplished. God is trying to accomplish whose work in our lives? Oh, not ours? Not our work? Well, why are we trying so hard? Why are we trying so hard? Because God won't bless our effort. Because, listen, to bless our effort is to undermine what He has given to us in the Holy Spirit. In other words, what we're saying, the Holy Spirit isn't enough. I need to put my muscle to it. I need to put my determination. I need to put my dedication. I need to put myself. Oh no, God says, stay out of it. Because I will not give you my glory, but I'll share it. I'll give it if you want it. If you want to experience what Paul experienced, if you want to experience what Peter, yes, Peter, what Peter experienced. Good old hard-headed Peter. I love Peter. Amen? Amen. I'm in the Peter Club. I am. And here's the deal. Ready? When he said, remember when he healed the man that was lame from his mother's womb? And everybody was marveling. It was so good to Peter what God was doing through his life. That he said, hey, why are you looking at us as if that by our own power we did this? We can't do it by our own power. But God will, by his power. So tonight, do you want God to, as we celebrate the love of God through his Son to the world, and to those specifically who have received that already, that's us. Do you want God to bring you to the place to where you can say with Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, that's the work of God. That's not, listen, the word of God is important because that's how he works. That's how we understand. But the work of God is the desired result God wants. Because if all we get is head knowledge, then we just become Pharisees with no power and no insight and no revelation from God. But when we get something from the Lord, we see the glory of God in our lives that he has given to us. And we say, be it unto me, O God, according to thy word. Wow. That's God's intent for your life and mine if we'll have it. So do you want it? The invitation is the Lord's. And here's the wonderful truth. It's already been given. It's already been given. It is in your account. In fact, it dwells within you. Wow. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Maybe praise him in your heart and mind right now. If that's a revelation God has given to you, to praise his name of his mercy and his grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for revealing your truth and your power that you've given to us, Lord, at the point of salvation. May we understand, may you reveal to us more understanding that we might walk in your ways by your grace and your power that glorifies your name and brings us to the place of worship. Bless Northwood Baptist Church tonight. May we understand more than ever before of the finished work of the cross of Calvary and what you've given to us and all of your promises already, Lord. They're ours. May we by faith receive what you've given. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.